The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
I've spoken to every member of the agency, from the CIA to the to our national security team, to our FBI, NSC, and we're gathering all the animals. I spent a lot of time with the government, with the mayor.
So that sounded like it was from Biden doing, you know, a couple questions. Is that right, Brad? Did he actually take a couple questions there?
Yeah, that was initially before he did the press conference.
So that press conference was rough.
Mm-hmm.
I did watch that.
It was only 4 minutes long.
4 minutes long, prepared statements, really struggled to get through it, and gave us no
information. And he was definitely reading off a teleprompter. And if you listen to this clip that we've got, you see if you can pick out the point where the teleprompter goes out on him.
The FBI also reported to me that mere hours before the attack, he posted videos on social media indicating that he was inspired by ISIS, expressing a desire to kill. The ISIS flag was found in his vehicle, which he rented to conduct this attack. Possible explosives were found in the vehicle as well, and more explosives were found nearby. The situation is very fluid, and the investigation has a preliminary stage. And the fact is that right now, excuse me.
There you go. It would be there.
The law enforcement and intelligence community are continuing to look for any connections, associations, or co-conspirators. We have nothing additional to report at this time. The investigation is continuing to be active, and no one should jump to conclusions.
I understand that. Is there anybody genuinely in America who thinks that he's running the ship? There are paid influencers out there.
Yeah,
who,
for
that's
sure.
What
but
they
that
say,
genuinely but. Believe it? No. And I said, I would think especially the people that are closest to him know that he's not.
Yeah. Yeah. And apparently the circle of people who are close to him is very small and doesn't include his cabinet. This is all stuff, again, that was coming out kind of over the holiday right before Christmas, was we were hearing all this about people, you know, I don't know if it was kind of whispered or if it was people actually coming out and saying on record that, yeah, he doesn't really talk to us. The whole cabinet's kind of in the dark about everything. I don't know. Jeff Manasso is joining us from Fox Radio here in just a minute, and we're going to talk a little bit more, find out some more facts about everything happening in these two terrorist attacks. Jeff Manasso on the phone with us. Jeff, thanks for being here.
You got it. Good to be with you.
So we're watching this live report right now happening from Las Vegas about that terrorist attack. Apparently, Elon Musk very much involved in the information gathering there. Is that right?
Perhaps what this suspect didn't realize is that those trucks are basically, you know, those vehicles, Tesla vehicles. I mean, they're constantly rolling on footage. They've got cameras all over the place, and so you know, every time this guy would have recharged it, and perhaps other situations, it's on tape. It's on film. In anything having to do with his trek from Colorado to Las Vegas is information that Tesla has that he's been sharing with these investigators who we don't know what they're saying just yet. But right now, you know, it obviously is a terror investigation that coincidentally happened at the same time, essentially, or just hours after the New Orleans attack. Now, what we're told is at this point, there is no connection between the two, although you talk to a lot of smart people and they'll tell you there's no such thing as coincidence. But we've also learned this morning that, you know, there are reports that these two knew each other, that they'd served together. But the latest is that there really is no evidence that, you know, from their military service to make a connection. Both the New Orleans terrorist and this guy in Vegas, they served at formerly Fort Bragg, but there was at different times. And for context, there's more than 50,000 U.S. service members currently stationed there. But the investigation is ongoing. The latest really right now is I can tell you that Bourbon Street, after the carnage was cleared and it's been cleaned up, it has just reopened. They had a band marching down. Sounded very much like quintessential Bourbon Street. And this is less than 48 hours after so much death and destruction and that terrorist attack that left 14 people dead, plus the gunman. And dozens injured. The investigation is ongoing, but what's weird is that after, you know, initially saying that the attack was not a terrorist event and then saying it was, that there were other suspects, the FBI now says it was not, or at least the terrorist suspect acted alone and on behalf of ISIS, for which there was an ISIS flag in the back of his vehicle, that he was radicalized, left videos behind. So it's, you know, it's still a fluid situation. They are still searching a nearby property in New Orleans, looking for, you know, potential evidence. I know that they've secured laptops and phones. They're obviously going through that, through the data, through surveillance video. They've searched the suspect's home in Houston. That's now been cleared. The suspect in Las Vegas, his home has been searched, and we're just getting word that the yellow police tape is being taken down and that area is being cleared. So still so many moving parts and so many questions, but this is the day where, you know, now we're starting to see the images and of the people and the names of the people affected by this and those killed and injured, and it's pretty heartbreaking stuff.
Yeah, it's a strange way to say Happy New Year, is to see news like this happen in multiple places across the country. Yeah. Jeff Manasso, Fox News Radio, on the phone with us. You know, you mentioned the FBI statements. I was actually going to ask you a little bit more about that. You've covered a lot of events where officials come out and they make official statements to the press. This, we were talking about this in the first hour here about an hour ago. It seems strange that the FBI would come out and make such definitive statements about these things so early. Is that par for the course?
There was a couple of strange things. First of all, I'll say this. For the FBI, I think that it was based off of information that several individuals left behind improvised explosive devices on Bourbon Street. And two were found, but the FBI now says they were actually placed there by this suspect earlier. And they were in coolers, and so people would pass by and stop and look at them. And maybe perhaps that was it. I'm not going to speak for them. But they did, in fact, say that he was the person who actually put them there. But what was interesting, early on yesterday, almost right away, they were able to identify him. And they admitted that, in fact, yes, people on X, users on X were absolutely right that there was an ISIS flag there. I thought that it was information that they would suppress, knowing typical FBI. Yeah. And how they've dealt with the press over the last, you know, several some odd years. But they came out with it and told us what we already knew hours earlier from X. And, you know, there is something to be said about what Elon says and how X seems to be first a lot of times in terms of news. But people were demanding answers, and they got them yesterday. But this is an investigation that is nationwide. Obviously, things right away are going to be reported that may not be accurate. That's typical in stories that move so fast as these and that are as big as these, like the truck, the information about it crossing the U.S.-Mexican border. It was a rental truck, and it was pinged to Eagle Pass several times, which may indicate a connection to human smuggling, but that, you know, the driver, the suspect wasn't necessarily the driver at that point. But the investigation is ongoing, and safety is at the forefront now, and especially in New Orleans, where the Sugar Bowl is about to get underway, where a national security event like the Super Bowl is set to take place in a matter of weeks, and where we've already heard from not only local, state, and federal partners that security will be upgraded even more so following this attack.
Jeff, you know, it's been a day and a half now, so still, you know, pretty new stories here. But are they looking, you know, the especially the guy in Las Vegas, you know, he's driving a Tesla. He parks outside of Trump Tower, clearly making some sort of statement. Are they looking for any manifesto or some sort of message that this guy was trying to send?
Yeah, I mean, there's already some reports that I haven't verified, so I'm not going to talk about it in terms of politics and his relationship to that stuff. I haven't verified it. You know, those things go. But yeah, I mean, it's probably not a mistake that it was a Tesla truck, and perhaps that you know, it was outside of a Trump hotel in Vegas, which, by the way, didn't receive a scratch based on
that's incredible.
How strong that Tesla truck was. But, you know, maybe it was a situation where you thought it was an electric truck, and obviously they burn at a really high rate, do a lot of damage. In addition to the explosives, the gasoline, other canisters, gas canisters and fireworks that were on board in the back of that truck. But he was the only one to die. And so, yes, that's what they're looking for. You know, computers and cell phones. They're looking for the digital footprint of these individuals in, you know, the past conversations, texts, communications, what they were searching for online, and any affiliation with potentially anybody else involved. But right now we're told, at least in the case of New Orleans, that he acted alone. We'll have to wait and see.
Jeff Manasso, last question for you. You know, we're seeing reports that both of these guys happened to rent their vehicles from Turo, which is, you know, not the most common. I've used it, but I know most people haven't. And then reports that they at least the guy in New Orleans had to drive pretty far from where he got the car. Is there any is there any connection with where did they both happen to pick him up, similarly like places, or with just both through Turo?
So this is this is exactly the point. This is why I'm not even a sick conspiracy theorist. I think just people in general are going to stop and say, wait a minute, it's the same app. Turo,
yeah.
that these vehicles were rented from. They both served at Fort Bragg, or now it's Fort Liberty now. But the military is saying, you know, there was no overlap in their assignments there, so they weren't there together. But there's a lot of coincidence, and it also happened to be on the same day. You know what I know, my friend, you know, we're trying to dig up and confirm, you know, any other details that we get. But right now, this is what the FBI, the ATF, even the White House are saying. You know, the investigation is obviously ongoing. Numerous resources are being poured into both of these situations. Of course, Donald Trump, who enters office in about 18 days, has something else to say, and he's been pretty vocal on his Truth Social, blasting the current administration in terms of the safety failures that he alleges under this current administration. And so that's a battle that's going to continue as well. This will probably leak into politics, as most stories do. But the bottom line is, you know, 14 people are dead and many are fighting for their lives. And New Orleans is trying to do what it does and getting back to normal so quickly, with still so many questions to be answered about exactly who these people were, how the heck did they get radicalized as former army soldiers? The story behind that, and you know, there's a lot more digging to do.
Right. Yeah, Jeff Manasso, thank you so much for keeping a vigilant eye on it and reporting back to us, Fox News Radio. Jeff Manasso, appreciate your time.
You bet.
So he mentioned there the statements that Trump has made on Truth Social. I'd like to read those when we come back because they are pulling no punches. So we'll talk about that behind the break. But real quick, that Turo thing, I meant to get to this earlier in the show. But have you ever used Turo?
I've never used it, but it's a car sharing thing.
Yeah, so it's not a traditional rental car company.
Right, so that Tesla, that truck was somebody's truck. That it's kind of like Airbnb for cars.
Yeah, so he didn't have to go buy a truck. He rented a truck from a user. Like somebody owned this truck. It wasn't a company.
That's somebody else's truck.
Somebody's truck that he basically paid to borrow for a day and then blew it up and then killed himself in the process. That guy. The other guy, I don't remember what kind of car it was, but it was same app.
It was an F-150. It was a truck.
It was Turo. And, you know, I'm not calling out Turo. They don't have anything to do with this. They're just a rideshare app. But not in this typical sense, where it's not like Uber, where you call a ride and somebody drives up and you get in the back seat. This is you actually renting the car from the owner of the car.
Right.
And I have done this in Florida once because I saw that this was a thing and I thought, oh, maybe this is going to become a whole new thing. Like, I wished I had done Airbnb earlier because when it first starts, you know, there are all kinds of incentives to use it. And I'm like, oh, you know, good deals. Now everybody knows about it. And so it's basically the same as getting a hotel, sometimes more expensive. But I thought, well, if I use Turo now, maybe I get on the ground floor and, you know, it'll be cheaper for a couple of years because I travel, you know, try to take weekend trips. This was a trip to Florida with my daughter back in August of 23. And I thought, oh, I'll give it a try because they're at the airport there too. So it's a little, I think it's probably an app that works really well if you want to borrow a car. Like if you're going to move and you want to borrow a truck.
Yeah.
You know, that would be ideally to me the way you'd use Turo. Using it at an airport was a little cumbersome because you got to talk a lot more to the owner than if you were just picking up a car from Enterprise. And so that made it more difficult. And then when we got the car, it was parked, you know, in a different lot because it's not the rental car.
Right.
So you got to figure out where that is, figure out where the car is. Ultimately, it wasn't that hard. It was just more steps. And then we get in the car, and God love my daughter. She's just like my wife, where they like nice things. They're, you know, my sons would have been like, oh, who cares? We get in the car. There's like cigarette burns on the seat.
Yeah, it's,
you know,
somebody else's car.
It's not a rental car. And so we sit down. She was young enough that I was able to tell her like, they just didn't really, you know, clean this one as well. I didn't tell her the whole backstory of using Turo.
This is dude's car down the street.
She's like, oh, okay. And so she kind of accepted it, but she was, you know, I don't know about this. And she was right. It was a little sketch, but that was the one experience with using Turo that I've had. And both of these guys, again, it's such a strange thing for both of them to have used.
Yeah.
Because it's not that well known. I guess if you're going to do this type of terror attack, it would make sense for them to borrow a car rather than buy a car.
Yeah. There are two things come to mind, just spitballing here. This is just my theory, guys. This isn't anything that I've heard or read or anything like that. But it sounds like maybe a terrorist organization, an ISIS or an Al-Qaeda, somebody like that, has found some sort of loophole in getting a vehicle, and that's why they're recommending Turo. But the other thing, the other side of it is, could be, and this could just be the, you know, coincidence here, where else are you going to get a Cybertruck? Because you don't go to Enterprise and rent a Cybertruck.
That's true.
So,
that's true.
Turo, you get to kind of pick out the car you want and that sort of thing. So if this guy is very specific, I want a Cybertruck because he's trying to make a statement, he's going to blow it up at the Trump Hotel,
then
that's probably one of your only places without going and buying one.
You know, there are a lot of, like Jeff Manasso was just saying, there are a lot of dots here that the public is looking at and going, come on, don't shine this up for me. Give me the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the truth. And we don't trust our organizations. We don't trust these agencies anymore. That's the problem. Because one of the other pieces of information, and you just reminded me of this when you said it was an F-150 in New Orleans. Did you see that the Ford page got hacked?
Yeah, that was bad.
By pro-Palestinian, probably Islamists, who put out multiple tweets saying, like, support the Palestinian state or things like that.
Yeah.
All at about the same time as this is happening. And so you're going, is it possible that these are coincidences? Yes. It's just that when you stack so many of them up, it starts to look like a bigger thing.
Yeah, several coincidences become a pattern.
Exactly. And you know, any one of the, like, it's possible that some of these aren't a coincidence and some are,
yeah,
you know, too. So it doesn't have to be all one or the other, but you just hope that we're in a place in America where we can start to trust these law enforcement agencies again. At the beginning of the show, I played, you know, the FBI coming out in New Orleans and immediately going, this is not a terrorist attack. And you're like, why? Why would you immediately say that? You don't even know that.
You don't know that it's not, and you don't know that it is.
Yes.
So if you don't know either one, you say, we're still looking into this. It potentially could be. It could not be. You leave it open.
Which is usually annoying, but is the professional thing to do. And they didn't even do that this time.
It's the honest thing to do. And to your point, that transparency is what we need to regain trust in this. So for me, what I want is an open book on all this. Here's what we found. This is what it was. Even if you have to keep the book closed a little bit while you do your investigation, once you've discovered everything, here it all is.
Exactly. 19 days, Brad. 19 days till a lot of these agencies are going to get overhauled, hopefully very, very quickly. We'll be covering it. We were just talking before the show. We'll all be here on Inauguration Day just to cover not just the pomp and circumstance, but he's probably going to start signing some stuff that day. We'll be here covering it live. 125 here in Middle America. It is St. Louis time, the second day of January 2025. And you are listening to the Annie Fry Show. The Manny Fry Show taking over today. We'll be right back.
Great year. I think we're going to do fantastically well as a country. We're going to bring it back. It has to be brought back. People are not respecting our country very much, and they're going to respect us a lot. I think a lot of progress has been made over the last 5 weeks. It's been pretty amazing when you look at what's happened. There's a whole light over the whole world, not just our country. There are a lot of very happy people.
It's interesting because he's right. People are treating him as if he's the president already. You know, world leaders are having meetings with him, as you would. I'm not saying that that's strange, but he hasn't even taken office yet, and the things he's promised to do policy-wise are already beginning to happen. Remain in Mexico being a big one that's already started. I mentioned in the last segment that I wanted to read Donald Trump's Truth Social post that's, you know, I guess it's about the terrorist attacks, but really it's about the broader scope of government. It says this: our country is a disaster, a laughingstock all over the world. This is what happens when you have open borders with weak, ineffective, and virtually non-existent leadership. The DOJ, FBI, and Democrat state and local prosecutors have not done their job. No lies detected so far. That was my commentary. Back to the statement. They are incompetent and corrupt, having spent all of their waking hours unlawfully attacking their political opponent, me, rather than focusing on protecting Americans from the outside and inside violent scum that has infiltrated all aspects of our government and our nation itself. Democrats should be ashamed of themselves for allowing this to happen to our country. The CIA must get involved now before it's too late. The USA is breaking down, a violent erosion of safety, national security, and democracy is taking place all across our nation. Only strength and powerful leadership will stop it. See you again on January 20th. Make America great again. Now, Brad, I don't know if you have followed this story in particular, but the broader story that people are talking about. But whenever, I talked about this a little bit in the first hour, whenever a terrorist attack happens in a way and in a place that you could picture yourself being, mm-hmm. and this is why schools are so
that's
much
that
way.
That's why they pick them.
That when it's, it's because it's just so random. You didn't do anything wrong. You didn't deserve this. You didn't let your guard down.
You were just in a particular place at a particular time. I saw an interview with a guy who he said, me and my buddies were running and we thought we got out. And he goes, I got into this building. We went in the back and I turned around to look to see where he was and he wasn't behind me.
Oof.
And he said he missed getting hit by the truck by that much. And his buddy did.
Wow. Yeah. I've seen some posts about there was a young girl mm-hmm. who got killed, and the post was basically about her parents saying, listen, if your parents tell you don't go out, don't go out, because they were just mourning. They'd lost their daughter. She was one of the victims in that attack in New Orleans. She was out partying, and she was probably in her early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
these incidents are just so random, and they're making people question whether Trump should even do a typical oath of office. Because the one in New Orleans, a little bit different, doesn't seem directly related to politics. It could be. He had an ISIS flag, so don't know exactly what he was trying to get across there. If it was, and I don't mean to make it all about Donald Trump, is my right. point. But the one in Las Vegas was about Donald Trump. They parked outside of Trump Tower for a reason. So obviously, trying to send a message, and people saying, "Look, you know, just because we got through two assassination attempts, and he happened to not be hit by either one of them, that doesn't mean they just stop now." I would think that it's less likely now, because once you get the apparatus in place, you know, people are going to know, oh, well, now J.D. Vance would take over. But before that, you know, the specifically the shooting that got him in the ear,
mm-hmm.
that was, you know, millimeters away from ending this guy's life and changing the course of history as we know it. If that had happened at that moment, he hadn't even announced a VP yet.
Yeah.
That was like 2 days away.
Yeah.
That's how close that was, that he was going to announce his VP. We didn't know at the time who it was going to be. Now that has happened, but people are still saying, look, this guy's not out of the woods. Donald Trump is, as we've reported on many, many times here in the last 8 years plus, uniquely hated by crazy people. And so the fact that J.D. Vance would take over doesn't seem like it's a deterrent. Doesn't seem like enough of a deterrent that you'd say, yeah, we're probably out of the woods with crazies trying to knock off the president.
Yeah, I don't think I would. But like you're saying, people are calling for that to delay or change how he's doing his oath of office. I don't think you change anything. I think you go full steam ahead. I think you've got to, because what you can't do is show that you're afraid.
That's what New Orleans is doing today.
Yeah. And I saw where I think it was the Louisiana AGs, like, we shouldn't be having this game. But they delayed the game one day, which I think was prudent. You know, you didn't know what was happening. You didn't know if there was more planned, because the Sugar Bowl is supposed to happen last night.
Mm-hmm.
And they delayed it one day. They said it's supposed to kick off today at 3. So as soon as you're done listening to the Annie Fry Show, if you want to watch Notre Dame in Georgia, flip on over and watch that. But they, but not before. But New Orleans is pushing ahead. Jeff Manasa was saying that you could hear bands marching down the street on that road now. They've got everything cleared up and cleaned up, and there's that bands playing, and they're trying to get back
crazy?
To normal. But that's what needs to happen.
In a sense, yes.
The idea of a terror attack, yes, you need to be more vigilant. You absolutely do. But what you can't do, they win when your way of life is altered. And what you can't do is let them alter your way of life.
Yeah, I said in that first segment, again, talking about how my wife had lived in New Orleans for a few years, and so we visited there even after she moved back. And this was before we were married, so I actually have only been to New Orleans with her. And she said, yeah, it's pretty common in the French Quarter, you know, to be walking through, and a parade just starts. Like, and the way it happens is, usually it's a kid or somebody young just walking around with a horned instrument, like sometimes a tuba or a trumpet or something, and they just start playing. They're just playing When the Saints Go Marching or whatever. And people are there to party, and so they grab a drink, and they just start following that kid. And other people join in, because there's so many people with instruments, they'll just join in, they'll just start playing their instruments, and they'll walk around and make a parade. And I thought, man, you know, the days I was there was around Thanksgiving, and this was over 10 years ago, that if I was seeing it on days that weren't party days, it must be pretty common. And she's like, oh yeah, it's super common. It happens all the time. But this would be a day where you'd figure, man, after a terrorist attack, I know it's like party central New Year's Eve, I get it. But the day after a terrorist attack, you'd think, oh, maybe that stuff's not happened. No, it is. Mm. It is still happening in New Orleans, because it just never stops.
There needs to be an indignation that goes along with it.
Yeah.
When somebody comes after you, you have to be indignant about their attempts to silence you, to crush you, to break you down. You cannot let them get the upper hand.
Peace through strength, man. Donald Trump gets that. And he is making very strong statements about this stuff. Of course, he's tying it to a lot of Democrat politicians. There's stuff that I've seen reported about these two terrorists, the one in Las Vegas, the one in New Orleans, that I'm not going to report because I haven't confirmed it to be true, but it was about their giving records, you know, who they give to in politics and so on and so forth. I'm not going to tell you what that was because it was Twitter.
Yeah.
And I don't know for sure, but I am encouraging you, you know, maybe look that up. That's something that you might want to find out for yourself, and we'll report on once we get it confirmed. But certainly Donald Trump is linking all of these things together. And why wouldn't he? He's taking office, and he's not a president that's going to do one thing. He's going to do a lot of things. And cleaning out the deep state, the shadow government, the permanent Washington, the swamp, whatever you want to call it. Man, I know that he didn't make that the central focus of his campaign, and I'm glad he didn't, because a lot of Americans, we know that's a problem. We want him to deal with it. But was he going to win every swing state by making that the central issue? I don't think he was. So he actually did this right in that he focused on inflation, the economy. He focused on open borders. And that is what won him this race. And now he's able to do all of those other things, too.
I think he was also successful in showing that a lot of the stuff that people want fixed is a result of that deep state, that rot within our government.
Yeah.
You know, the career bureaucrats that have been in there that either don't care or aren't good at what they do, that they need to be removed, and you need to put people in who are competent and who strive for excellence in those areas.
I got a story coming up here about Biden having some regrets, and this involves the debate. This involves stuff that is now part of history that I'll tell you about in a second. But real quick, I was getting some Christmas gifts a few days ago, right before Christmas, like I think that Monday. And this speaks to the fact that everybody's kind of on that same, even if you're not really involved in politics. You know, I was getting some calendars from a copy store, and we were talking about, well, do you want to pay cash or credit? And I said, well, I'll pay cash. I got cash. He goes, oh, yeah, I'm sure you take cash, right? You know, people still take cash, I think. And he's like, oh, yeah, we prefer it. He's like, man, I just never know how many people are watching you whenever you scan your card. And I said, yeah, it's something we don't think about enough. And that, just that little open door, he started talking about it. There was a guy waiting for copies behind me who was a really young guy who I had no idea what his politics. He started talking about it. The whole thing, everybody blew up. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, they're watching you. Everybody's got all this information on you. No idea what the politics of this entire room was, but everybody's fed up with big government and untrustworthy government. We don't know what they have on us. We have no idea. They know your spending patterns. They know all this stuff. We have no idea what kind of databases they're keeping on us. And that is a random thing that unites America, that we're all skeptical of all of this technology and how it's being used. And I think that we all trust a Donald Trump administration more than a random Democrat administration to at least not misuse that stuff and hopefully not keep it at all.
Well, the whole reason for all that, the Patriot Act and all that stuff, was to keep you safe. It was to keep you safe.
It's always for safety.
And what did we see?
Abuse.
We saw abuse, but we also see that they're not using it for what they said they would use it for.
That's another great point. Yeah, terrorist attacks still happening. So anyway, like I said, Biden, the current president of the United States, has expressed some regrets about the way things went down. Now, if you haven't heard this yet, you'll be a little surprised as to what he regrets. Coming up next here on the Annie Fry Show, 97.1 FM Talk. Here the second day of 2025, looking back a little bit at the year that was. Did you see any concerts last year, Brad?
No, I'm not much of a concert person.
I would like to fancy myself a concert person. I don't think I saw anything last year.
You have to go to concerts to be a concert person.
I know. I'm no Mark Reardon.
No Mark.
I'll tell you that. That guy sees some concerts, man.
Man, I can't get into him.
I say that because Stevie Nicks was in town this year, last year. And my wife and mother-in-law went to see her at Enterprise Center. And they said she was phenomenal. I don't actually, I should look up and see how old she is now. I would think that, You know, she's got kind of that gravelly voice that I would think the older you got, the harder it would be.
That's interesting that you mentioned that, because Madonna was doing concerts and she made some waves on the internet for her performance. And people are like, madam, you are too old to be doing that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so like part of it is like, what is your performance? Are you a good singer? And if you're a good singer, then you can change how you perform at your shows and you can continue to sing.
Right.
So it's interesting that you say Stevie Nicks did great, because she is. She's a really good singer.
She was born in 1948. She's 76 years old. She apparently sounds still fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't, you know, when you're at a concert, you don't know how much you might be hearing some processing and things, but my wife said she told some stories in between, which for me, when I go to a concert, if it's anybody I've ever heard of, I've heard your songs. I want to hear your songs live. Don't get me wrong. That's why I'm there. I want to hear stories. I want you to talk to me. I want you to, you know, share things about your life, personal, you know, whatever. I want you to talk a little bit and make it more of a show than just me coming and hearing you play the songs note for note like they are on the record. I can get the record. And I actually am a fan of when people try to make it sound like the record. I'm not saying like change the song, but I want to just hear more from you. That's why it's a show. And she apparently did that really well. And my wife said that one of the things that she said is that she has a vocal coach that is with her, I would assume, full time. Like, that's his full time job, is to be with Stevie Nicks all the time. And that she does 2 to 3 hours of vocal training every day. I'm here talking for the first time in several days, and I'm already going hoarse. So it says a lot. And to be able to do that for such a long time, man, it's just impressive. But she said that show was amazing. I mentioned coming into this segment that Biden was expressing some regrets over the way things went down. Now, I don't know if he really knows the way things went down or if he's being told he has regrets. But yeah, I think, you know, this probably could be in the category of his own personal opinions, because I don't think he has many political ones at this point. But as 2024 draws to a close, the article says, the president has one regret that looms over his tenure, overshadowing the achievements and challenges of the year. Achievements. What achievements? Joe Biden apparently regrets dropping out of the race. Did you hear this?
Oh, yeah.
The recent presidential election believes he could have beaten Donald Trump if he had stayed in the race. Despite securing the Democrat Party nomination, the 82-year-old withdrew from the race in July amid pressure over his low polling numbers and poor performance in a televised debate against Trump. He was replaced by Kamala Harris, who later lost to Trump in November. Are you kidding? Do you really think, Mr. President, that you, after that debate, and look, She still lost. I'm not saying like, oh, things turned out better. It probably would have been the same. But are you really thinking you could have won that race?
Oh,
do you think he really believes
that? Yes, that man's ego is huge. He believes that he could have won that race. What, like, for those of you out there listening, I'm going to give you guys a little perspective on how bad that debate was. Usually, whenever that debate's going on, we're doing
we were at Dave and Buster's.
Yeah, we're doing the debate party. Watch party. When we're conversing about it, we're, you know, throwing bombs, cracking jokes, correcting things. There was a lot of
silence. Slack-jawed,
yeah,
wow.
It was awe. What is he saying? Like, it wasn't an attitude of, look at this joker. It was like, oh my gosh, this is the guy who's in charge of the country.
We've got some awesome t-shirts up. If you go to, I think it's 971.com/merch. So our 97.1 t-shirts that we have, they're great. There's some like cool slogans. It's the kind of shirts that if you're wearing them, people know that guy is into politics. He's a Trump dude.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're out there, you're saying loud and proud, right?
Right.
It's those people. I'm not everybody, but people who are like really into it, who are showing up to party with us.
Our printer was there printing t-shirts.
Exactly. And we are like ready to roll. Like, that's why you come, is to be with a bunch of people who, whenever Trump gets a smackdown, everybody goes, oh,
yeah,
you know, you're watching a football game, basically. And we were all ready for it that night. And almost nobody said a word because it was like, I was scanning the room. We were in the back. We were broadcasting.
Sighs and gasps.
In the back of the room, we were watching the crowd turning to each other going, oh my gosh, like silently saying it to each other. Oh my gosh, what is happening? Because we all knew Biden was in a bad place. We didn't know it could come across that poorly.
Mm-hmm.
But after that night, it was clear that there was no way for him to win. So my question for you, Brad, and I don't know if we've discussed this on the show. If we have, I apologize. But is it better that he did drop, now knowing that Donald Trump won, is it better that he beat Kamala Harris instead of Biden?
Yes.
Why?
Because I think that it's not just a rejection of Joe Biden. It's not just a rejection of a well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory. It's a rejection of policy at that point. It's a rejection of an administrative goal. It's a rejection of everything that the Democrats have tried to do for the last 4 years. It wasn't bad because Joe Biden was old, elderly, declining, bad mental health stuff. It was bad because the results of the policies that administration, because everybody could look at it and say, well, Joe Biden wasn't in charge anyway. It was a result of those policies put in place why things have gotten so bad.
I completely agree. Because looking back on it now, if he had beat Joe Biden, which he would have,
mm-hmm.
everybody would have said, well, yeah, sure, you can beat Joe Biden. But if we had anybody else running, they would have beat Donald Trump. You did have somebody else running. Mm-hmm. They didn't beat Donald Trump. It was a full repudiation of policy at that point, which is great because you had Kamala Harris, by politics standards, younger.
Yep.
Attractive, you know, checks all the boxes. You know, has the demographics,
energy,
all the stuff. Like, yeah, she had the full force of Hollywood production behind her. She had the endorsement of every single person at the Diddy parties. She had everything going for her, but still couldn't pull it off. And now people go, well, it's because she didn't have enough time or whatever. Yeah, whatever.
The excuses were always going to come for whoever lost.
Yeah, it's going to happen. And there probably are legitimate excuses. Like, maybe if she'd had a longer... maybe if she had a longer campaign, she would have spoken more eloquently. I'm just kidding.
Maybe she would have done
it
more
wouldn't
interviews.
Happen. This was ideal
she
for
had time
her. Come
to
on,
do
give
more
me
interviews.
A break. This was exactly what she needed. It still didn't work. But the only reason that I can come up with why it may have been better if he had beaten Joe Biden instead of Kamala Harris or anybody else for that matter is that the turnout for Joe Biden would have been so low that they probably would have a bigger House majority. They would probably have taken a couple extra Senate seats. And that stuff would be valuable,
yeah.
Brad.
I don't know, though, that they would have gotten that much more because I think what the DNC would have immediately done is pivot to throwing their money not behind Joe Biden, but behind all those races.
I tell you what, it's been really glorious in this last couple months because you can't really find an argument why... people still don't like Trump.
Mm-hmm.
If you hated Trump, you still hate Trump. Don't get me wrong. But the fact that he won the popular vote, he won every single swing state.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they took the Senate. They took more seats than they thought they would. In every way, he beat lawfare. He beat assassins. You know, there's nothing, there's no talking point that you can attach to him. And it would have been the Joe Biden talking point. Even if all of those other things had been true, it would have been, yeah, well, you beat Hillary Clinton barely, and then you beat a well-intentioned elderly man who's got dementia.
Yeah.
You're not a legitimate president. No, that's gone. You are a legitimate president. In fact, your approval rating at this moment in time is the highest it's ever been for your three-term run that you've had.
Wild.
It's pretty incredible. Here it is, January 2nd. We've said it before, 19 days until Inauguration Day. We will cover it live here on 97.1. That's going to be a fun day. That's MLK Day, but we'll be here live covering that because it's also Inauguration Day. January 6th is coming up. That is when Annie Fry returns. The whole team will be back on Monday. Today, it's the Manny Fry Show here on 97.1.